You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 420.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm pretty good hanging in there, you know. Are you hanging in there?
I am.
That's all we can expect of anyone at this point is, you know, just kind of hang in there.
What other option is there?
That's all we have. We're just going to take it easy this week, I think, not attempt to do anything too elaborate. Let's just catch up, you know?
I like that idea.
I think that'd be good, but I do have a couple of things I wanted to kick around with you, so we'll probably keep this one short. We'll see, but let's get going, and let's start, as always, Cornflake. What is this week's National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, Kevin, as we discovered long, long ago on this podcast, he's not a knight, but he's somebody we know well from pop culture. We're going to wish a happy birthday on May 27th to Todd Bridges, who turns 55 years old.
Todd Bridges. Okay.
Todd Bridges turned 55.
Yes. Different strokes, of course. He's Willis. He's what you talking about, Willis? Willis Jackson?
Willis Jackson. Yes, indeed.
That's his biggest role, of course, I believe, of his career. He was around before that. He was on Fish before that, another sitcom that I enjoyed.
And Roots and Little House on the Prairie.
Was he in Roots?
Yes.
I didn't even know that. And yeah, he certainly popped up on various things here and there back then. A very busy child actor in the 70s and 80s. Fish, he was a regular on. That was Abe Vigoda. Spinning out of the Barney Miller show, they gave Abe Vigoda his own show, Fish, in which he was a foster parent to a crazy house full of crazy foster kids, including the youngest kid on the show was a very young Todd Bridges.
Wasn't he on The Waltons around that same time, too?
Maybe. I'm going to say probably. Sure. I didn't watch The Waltons.
I have it on good authority that he was on The Love Boat at least once.
Oh, sure. That's a given. Everybody had to cycle through The Love Boat back then, so I'm sure they threw him on the old Pacific Princess at some point. And Todd has had a hard life and has had some dark times in his life, to say the least. I hope he's doing okay these days. The last time I saw him was a couple of years ago, I think. They brought back the Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah, that was so cool. I remember when we were going over that week by week.
Yeah, they dug up all the old celebrities that used to be on Battle of the Network Stars in the 70s and 80s. They got a lot of the same people to come back for the new version, as well as some of your newer stars as well, of course. But yeah, Todd was on Battle of the Network Stars and seemed to be doing well, so let's hope that he's doing better these days. And Todd, you know, of the core cast of Different Strokes, Todd, sadly, is the last man standing.
That's true.
You know, man, Conrad Bain, of course, Gary Coleman, Dana Plato, and even Charlotte Ray are gone. And yeah, now we're just down to Todd. Unless you go into, like, that other extra kid that they brought in at the end. And,
I don't think that counts.
I believe maid number three, the actor's name I'm blanking on right now, but Pearl, the third maid, I think she's still alive. But who knows? But anyway.
I didn't want to come to this segment empty-handed.
Kevin. Yeah? Uh-oh. What you got?
Well, I'm not going to try to claim that he's a knight again, but...
Yeah, at one point you were insisting on calling him Sir Todd Bridges and insisting that the Queen of England... In an elaborate and highly illegal ceremony, had knighted Todd Bridges, and you insisted we call him Sir Todd Bridges. Is there an update on this situation?
That's when I learned that you don't get your history lessons from music videos by the Black Keys. But he wasn't a music video done by the band the Black Keys. It's Howlin' for You. But I don't think we've ever discussed the crossover episodes that he was on, because he was also on a couple of episodes of The Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah, they did some crossover, of course, because Facts of Life was a direct spinoff out of Different Strokes. And so there were a couple of episodes where you'd Gary Coleman and Todd Bridges, Dana, and they all dropped in and made an appearance or two in the earlier episodes, especially. Oh, sure.
I just think that's really cool.
Sure. And it made sense. Where it got weird is when they sent Gary Coleman as Arnold Jackson over to Silver Spoons.
Yes.
He popped up in character on Silver Spoons, which up until that moment was a completely unrelated show. But then suddenly you knew Silver Spoons and Different Strokes and Facts of Life all exist in the same universe. And that's very exciting for me. And Hello, Larry, by extension.
Well, there you go. Happy birthday to Todd Bridges.
Sure. Happy birthday, Todd. All right. What are we doing today? Oh, you know what? Let's just start out with, we're just doing one classic Flopcast segment today. So let's knock it out right here at the top of the show. And that is, Cornflake, are you ready? Even though we are in pandemic lockdown mode, that doesn't mean the news stops. That doesn't mean we don't have a pandemic lockdown edition of Chickens in the News.
And now, the Flopcast presents Chickens in the News.
Yeah, Cornflake, this is happening for real. Chicken news.
I can't believe it.
Wouldn't you think they would all just be, you know, hiding in the hen house, keeping out of trouble?
I would.
Yeah, here's what we have. This came to us from a couple of listeners. Ed forwarded this to me, and also Arturo. So those are both our regular contributors to Chickens in the News, of course. And so thanks, guys. Here's the story. This takes place in Louisiana. Walker, Louisiana, I suppose, because it's the Walker Police Department. They issued a statement on their Facebook page.
Oh, did they?
So I'm just going to largely be quoting from what the police put on their own Walker PD Facebook post, because whoever's doing the social media posting for the Walker Police, I like their style. Here's what we have. It starts by saying BOLO. You know BOLO? What that means?
Yes.
In police terminology, this is a BOLO, as in be on the lookout. The Walker Police Department asking for the public's assistance in connection with an incident occurring Friday in Walker. At approximately 4 p.m., Walker police were dispatched to a bank in response to a complaint of an aggressive chicken.
Aggressive bank chicken?
Bank chicken. The police got to the bank within a couple of minutes of the call, but the chicken, this is quoting from the post, Cornflake, the chicken apparently anticipated the imminent arrival of law enforcement and fled on foot from the scene.
Oh, the chickens always know when the fuzz has been called, and they know when to skedaddle.
They knew. Time to get out of there. But I love that detail that it fled on foot.
Yes.
Like there wasn't a getaway car standing by?
No getaway chicken mobile.
Chicken just had to make a run for it. Down the street, the feathers were flying. According to the complaint, the chicken had been terrorizing bank customers all week at both the walk-up ATM and the drive-thru.
What on earth?
Apparently a chicken spent a week terrorizing bank customers. Until somebody finally called the police, dropped a dime on the chicken.
Wow. See, Kevin, I knew this pandemic was getting to everyone, but to cause a chicken to be a maniac at a bank?
We're all getting a little crazy and goofy, and yeah, even poultry are not unaffected by it all, in that this one had to finally just give up, break out of the hen house, and go try to pull off a heist. This says, officials told officers that the chicken chased customers, attempted to enter customer vehicles, and on a number of occasions failed to engage in proper social distancing.
Oh, snap.
The police went on patrol. They were trying to track down the chicken. It says, despite patrols of the area, including the kitchen of a nearby restaurant, the chicken could not be located. They just... Somebody check the deep fryer. Maybe it's already just fallen apart into nugget form.
A chicken that hides in a restaurant is living dangerously.
That's a desperate chicken.
Yes.
That's like when Lee Harvey Oswald went into the theater.
If I was a chicken, though, I'd be like, they'll never look for me here.
Yes. It's the perfect crime. This says police are looking for a reddish tan chicken, approximately 18 inches tall, 6 to 8 pounds in weight. That's a big chicken.
That is a very big chicken.
Now, that said, I'll bet that chicken could blend in a crowd of other chickens. That doesn't sound terribly distinctive, unless it had, like, maybe there's a menacing scar or something that makes it stand out in the crowd. A weird tattoo from last time it was in the joint doing hard time.
Oh, that chicken knows that to the police, the chicken all look alike.
They'll never figure out which one pulled off the bank heist. This says the chicken is wanted on charges of trespass, 34 counts of assault.
Whoa!
Man. Attempted battery, attempted burglary, terrorizing, and ignoring an order of the governor.
Oh, man.
What a rap sheet this chicken is going to have if they ever track it down.
How do you even begin to rehabilitate a chicken like that?
If this chicken gets sent up the river, I think it's going away for good.
Yeah, you're in the boat.
It's going to have to serve like 17 consecutive life sentences.
I mean, I don't like to judge, but the chance of recidivism here, I don't see it.
Which for a chicken, 17 consecutive life sentences, how long is that? Like 4 months? I don't know. Anyway, it wraps up by saying, given the chicken's history of aggressive behavior, the public is urged to avoid confronting the fowl and to instead contact the Walker police. So what's going on in Walker, Louisiana? Whoever's just manning the laptop back there in the station, just looking to have a little fun, you know? And why not?
I'll say.
The story's probably from a couple of weeks ago at this point. I do not know if there's any follow-up, if the chicken resurfaced, or if it's just on the run at this point.
The chicken's doing community service, Kevin.
What if it's on a raft on the Mississippi, like Huck Finn, just making a run for it?
It could be.
That'd be good. Well, Cornflake, as you can see, things are getting crazy here in the pandemic era. It's even affecting our chicken friends in the Deep South. That is your Chickens in the News.
Well, Kevin, I was not sure what to expect, but I can tell you this much. I did not see a chicken bolo coming.
You are not prepared for a chicken bolo. That's what you got. I have another story. This is not chickens in the news, but here's another news item that caught my eye. Also pandemic lockdown era themed and also very weird. There's a restaurant in Virginia, like a fancy restaurant, and they're scheduled to reopen at the end of May. Restaurants are allowed to reopen. However, they can only be at 50% capacity, and seating has to be outdoors. So this restaurant is, it's called the Inn at Little Washington. It'll be outdoor dining. However, the chef owner has a weird plan. He didn't like the visual of the inside of the restaurant, the lavish dining room being empty while everybody was eating outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to fill the dining room with mannequins dressed in 1940s costumes.
They're going to what now?
They're going to fill a restaurant with mannequins, Cornflake. They're dressing them up in period costumes.
Oh, no, no. Does the owner have any idea how freaky that's going to look?
Will this be hilarious, or will it be creepy and scary, or some delightful combination of the two?
I am picturing this. And it's the stuff of nightmares.
Like, things aren't weird enough already. This guy figured out a way to crank up the weirdness. There's, like, Twilight Zone episodes where mannequins would come to life at night. This is something straight out of, you know, Rod Serling. Picture the visual, Cornflake. The humans are sitting on the lawn while inside the fancy restaurant at the beautiful tables and chairs are dummies. Just dressed to the nines and living it up.
On the other hand, Kevin, at this time, only a dummy would eat in a crowded restaurant.
Now, would you go to this restaurant at the end of May and not go inside with the mannequins, but would you be one of the people who would show up and eat in the outdoor dining area while the mannequins watched you from inside?
Absolutely not. What about you?
No!
A resounding no.
And now that said, not because of the mannequins. I'm cool with the mannequins. In fact, my request would be I will eat at your restaurant if I would also like everyone seated around me outside to also be mannequins.
That sounds about right.
I don't think that's a good business model for the restaurant, but those are my terms. There you go. Now, I'm not going anywhere these days. Well, I go outside, but after I go outside, I don't go inside anywhere.
Right, same.
In the last 2 months, I have been inside two buildings. That is here in Chickentown Studios. I'm inside right now. And the supermarket. That's it.
Same. And even when I get inside my car, it feels weird because I'm not used to it anymore.
My car feels weird because I filled it with mannequins.
Oh, wow.
I go outside all the time because I go out and run every day. We've discussed this before, but, you know, running has become more of a challenge because you got to keep away from all the people. You know, it's like playing Pac-Man, but for real.
Right.
The other people are the monsters, of course, in this little analogy. I ran a half marathon a couple weeks ago, an actual virtual half marathon in which you signed up, but then everybody just ran from their own location, wherever they were. And then you submit your results, and then it all gets tabulated at the end. Here's how we all did. And it was a fundraiser. It was a charity thing, you know, so, and it was nice. It was cool. But yeah, I went out all by myself, ran my half marathon, and I placed rather well in this. So I'm looking at the list like, look at that, pretty good. Then I stopped and thought, wait a minute. I don't know where these other people were. It was literally not a level playing field.
The rest of them all ran uphill in the snow the entire time.
That could very well be. I might have been running the easiest course. I was running on my trail in which it's very hard to avoid people because if someone's coming the other way, you know, it's hard to put too much distance between them.
You pretty much have to dive into a ditch to avoid them.
It almost came to that a couple of times. So I'm going to mask up. So if I get too close to people, I'll have my mask. However, I didn't want to be wrestling with a face mask while running, you know.
Right.
And I also didn't want to wear a mask the entire time because, well, you try running a half marathon wearing a face mask.
Yeah, best of luck to you.
And you'll see what I mean. I need something I can just pull up when there are people around. I ended up using a buff, which I didn't even realize that I owned a buff, but I do. I have a couple of them, and that works really well. So that's what I've been using. It looks ridiculous, but here we are. There are like these crazy rainbow patterns on them. So they looked really silly, especially on me.
So by silly, you mean awesome, because that sounds really cool to me.
Yeah, super cool, ridiculous, rainbow patterned buff. I only learned the term buff from Survivor. The game show Survivor, you know, where people starve to death on an island. Because they wear buffs on Survivor. All the teams on Survivor, they wear matching buffs. And they'll just tie them around their arm or pull it over their head. Or like those, or those little tiny bikini model contestants on Survivor will wear them like a tube top, you know. So they're all wearing buffs. That's not how I wear mine. The reason I even own one or two, do you remember for Dragon Con? The one time I wore a costume at Dragon Con was for my Schoolhouse Rock panel. Where I had to dress up like Cloris Leachman.
I do remember this.
Speaking of the facts of life. Yeah, Cloris Leachman made the videos back in the 80s where she was hosting Schoolhouse Rock videos. And she did this big crazy song and dance number wearing a ridiculous outfit. And I replicated that outfit for our Schoolhouse Rock panel at Dragon Con a couple of years ago. I dressed up as Cloris Leachman. And I used a couple of these buffs to replicate the weird goofy head thing that Cloris was wearing. So I had these stupid buffs, you know, and now I'm using them again.
That's so great.
But anytime anybody looks at me funny, like, what are you wearing? What's that? Then I just want to stop them and say, no, you don't understand. It's part of my Cloris Leachman costume, you know, because then it makes perfect sense. So I'm becoming a colorful character around Chickentown. You know, people just see me stomping around on the streets wearing my ridiculous Cloris Leachman buff as a mask. Everybody sees me coming.
Yes.
There's that idiot.
In the buff.
It's a commonly heard phrase here around Chickentown.
Oh, people say that about me when they see me coming, and I'm not even wearing anything on my face.
That's what happens when I leave the house anyway these days, Cornflake. However, the rest of the time, we're leading into another Flopcast segment now. The rest of the time, I guess you could say I'm trapped in the house.
Yes.
You know? Because I thought, let's play that game again. Remember our game, Trapped in the House?
Trapped in the House.
Everybody loved when we played Trapped in the House. It's a special, new, really stupid segment that we invented just for our current lockdown situation. We played it a couple times a few weeks ago. The premise is, I'm going to give you some choices. You're trapped in your house. You want to be trapped with this or this. You have to choose one of two things to be trapped in the house with, things or people or whatever. You make your selection, and then I will inform you if you were correct or incorrect, because I've already arrived at what the definitive answer is. There is a correct answer. This is not subjective. This is all too real, all too serious.
Okay.
And here we go. We just have three of them today, so this will be quick. You ready to go? Trapped in the house?
This is good, yes, because I can only take so much. Let's have them.
Round one, Cornflake. You're going to be trapped in the house with, simply enough, Hall or Oates.
See, normally it's a case of figuring out which one I'd be able to tolerate more, but I like them both. Well, I can't see Oates getting angsty about, like, hair growing long during this, or... whereas I could see Daryl Hall feeling a little bit cramped by the fact that he can't get out to the salon or the barber.
Interesting. So you think John Oates would be more comfortable with just letting himself go, whereas Daryl Hall would be much more concerned about his beautiful blonde rock star locks falling into disrepair without his crack team of stylists at his beck and call?
I think it would be a harder go for him. On the other hand, if I need something to soothe me in this time of the pandemic, I could just imagine Daryl Hall serenading me and me not even caring that we're all locked in.
Yep.
So I'm going to go Daryl Hall.
Going Daryl Hall. Interesting. I thought you were going Oates, then you suddenly switched at the end, lured by the siren song, those golden pipes of Daryl Hall. Now, keep in mind, John Oates, also a fine singer.
True.
Daryl's got the major voice, of course. That is the voice of Hall & Oates.
The golden tones, yes.
Yeah, John can sing as well, though, of course. You've already been trapped in a hotel lobby with Hall and Oates that one time.
I have. It didn't make the choice any easier.
Yeah. You managed to survive that encounter with Hall & Oates. You got through that. But now we're talking about months in a house with one of them. You've selected Daryl Hall.
I have selected Daryl Hall.
Cornflake, that is incorrect.
Oh, no.
The correct answer is Oates. I see what you're saying. Because, yeah, who wouldn't want just a private Daryl Hall concert every night?
All the time.
Because Oates free with just Hall, he might even do a Dreamtime, his one solo hit.
I was hoping. But
that'd be good.
What you're telling me here, I should have gone with my gut.
You should have gone with John Oates, and here's why. Now, it's a close call. You know, you could go either way. You could practically flip a coin. You can't go wrong. You'd be fine with either one of these guys. They both seem like delightful fellows. What it comes down to, quite simply, is just square footage.
I see.
Daryl Hall's a big, tall guy. John Oates is a little guy. So just because he'd take up less space in the house, that's all it comes down to. Oh, just go John Oates.
Okay.
Yeah.
You make an excellent point.
That was a tough one. What would be the most appropriate Hall & Oates song for this current era that we're all suffering through?
Well, if you're never alone in the house, private eyes are watching you. What do you think?
Perhaps. Oh, Say It Isn't So?
Oh, yeah.
That might be appropriate. Oh, One on One? For you and John, or you and Daryl. All right, endless possibilities. Okay, that was round one. Let's move along. Maybe you'll do better in round two. Round two, Cornflake, you're going to be trapped in the house with the Smurfs or the Snorks.
Oof. I see problems with both of these options right off the bat.
Yep.
And you know I've got a soft spot in my heart for both the Smurfs and the Snorks, and still...
I know you're a fan of both.
Still, I see problems.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hypothetically say right off the bat.
Talk me through your decision-making process. This is fine.
Let's say I were to go with the Smurfs.
Yep.
I would have to worry about Gargamel and Azrael trying to crash our party and not social distancing.
You might have a creepy old wizard and his creepy cat lurking around in the yard, peering in at you as if you were a mannequin at a restaurant in Virginia.
Private eyes would be watching me.
They would be.
But I have a dog, and I'm confident that that dog could keep Azrael and Gargamel away.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel. Like, I'm picturing all these little mushroom houses everywhere in my house.
Yep.
I'd be tripping over them. Uh-huh. And have to listen to Brainy Smurf go on and on.
Yes.
Ah.
So from a security standpoint, you're not worried about Gargamel because you've got the dog.
Right.
However, there are other nuisances to be concerned about, the reality of having the Smurfs setting up camp. So a lot of things to consider. All right, let's turn to the Snorks now. Talk me through the snorks showing up at your house to lock down with you.
I always thought the snorks were cooler. And you know me. I love being in the water. But they live in the water, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to fill my house with water. Or else they'd be dead, and then I'd have a bunch of dead snorks in my house in the quarantine, and I'm not okay with that.
Do you think if the Walker police got a report of a house full of dead snorks, would they still be so witty and clever in their social media posts about it? Or is it time to get serious at that point?
I think I would stun them speechless. I'm going Smurfs.
You've selected the Smurfs. Okay. Now, as you noted, very difficult situation either way.
Yes.
This is not like Hall & Oates. It's cool either way.
Yes.
Now we're going the other way. The Smurfs or the snorks, either way, this will be difficult. You pick the Smurfs. Cornflake, that is incorrect.
No.
Cornflake, the correct answer is the snorks, I'm afraid.
How do I almost keep getting these right and then hooking a left turn at the end and getting them wrong? But I get to know what you're thinking on this is.
Okay, well, you're absolutely right that those little mushroom houses would be springing up all over your house. And it'd be like a vermin infestation. They would be everywhere, just building their own bizarre little Smurf community. You wouldn't be able to move around. It would be nightmarish. And yeah, plus so many of them, the individual Smurfs are super annoying, each one with its own weird little personality, you know. That's going to be a big problem. The snorks, I imagined you just filling up the tub and throwing them in. Done. However, you were thinking bigger than that.
Yeah.
You were imagining fill your house with water. And I got to say, I love that idea as well. Because, yeah, you're into swimming and water aerobics. You're very comfortable in the water and in the pool. So, yeah, Cornflake, waterproof your house, fill it with water, fill it with snorks. You're good to go. Come on.
Well, at this point, it's sounding like the snorks are optional, if you ask me.
I don't even care if the snorks even show up. I'm filling my house with water. Why not? All right, so there you go. The correct answer is the snorks.
So I may be wrong, but I still win. Okay, next one.
Yes. Final round for this week, Cornflake. You're going to be trapped in the house with a puppet that comes to life and screams all night, or a barbershop quartet. Puppet that comes to life and screams all night, or a barbershop quartet.
Given the alternative, if the barbershop quartet is wrong, I don't want to be right. But let's think of this.
Think it through.
Right.
Carefully.
Because you are running this edition. I'm trapped in the house. I know how to come away with this with at least one win, whether I disagree with you or not. Oh, I've got this one, Kevin. The answer is the puppet. No doubt.
Of course the answer is the puppet. You are correct. You definitely want to choose. Of course you take a puppet that comes to life and screams all night over the much more horrific and nightmarish prospect of being trapped with a barbershop quartet. That is the correct answer. Good job.
I win.
See that? You came back. You got one in the end. You're good. Nice job.
Thank you. I got one right because I know how you think.
You did it. All right. I think we've gone on long enough. Cornflake, get us out of here.
Well, if there is a puppet in your house screaming all night, it might tell you about where to find the Flopcast between shows. You can find us at flopcast.net, on Instagram, the_Flopcast. We're on Twitter. Our handle is @Flopcast. And we're on Facebook, facebook.com/Flopcast.
Yes, that's where to find us. Okay, Cornflake, we're coming back next week with more cartoon talk. I believe we're going to wrap up our three-part look at the cartoons of 1980. I just wanted to give you the chance this week to start waterproofing your house and get back to cartoons next week. Meanwhile, everybody, hope you're okay out there. Seriously, be safe, be good. We're thinking of you. See you next week.
Peace and restaurant mannequins.
Are you one of millions of people worldwide with compulsive geekiness, feeling isolated and alone? Do you wish there were people that understood the thoughts and feelings associated with geeky flare-up? There is hope and a treatment program that can help. Ask your podcast service or ESO network provider if the Nerd Bliss podcast is right for you, or go to nerdblisspodcast.com today. Side effects may include butt hurt, movie quotes, nostalgia, warp speed, becoming verklempt, becoming a brony, appreciation of Cats the movie, pantyhose, asking God what he needs with a starship, donut, muffin, or bagel, fat shoelaces, improved sense of rhythm, aiming to misbehave, nudity, and random arbitrary lists.
Oh, Cornflake, hello.
Hi.
Those snorks show up yet?
The snorks have not shown up yet.
All right, probably just as well. You're not ready for them yet.
I am not ready for snorks. But Kevin, who is?
Todd Bridges.
Quite possibly.
Perhaps. You know what I've been doing this week? Super quick. I've been trying not to do too much TV talk on the show the last few weeks, other than our cartoon shows, of course. But so much talk in the lockdown era has just been, so what are you watching? So what's good on Netflix? You know, that's all anybody talks about anymore. But here in the after show, I'll say that a show that you mentioned a couple times, I finally have seen the first few episodes of. That's Letterkenny.
Oh.
I've seen a few. I've seen maybe 4 episodes, and Carrie, our buddy Carrie, convinced me to give it a shot, so I'm watching a little Letterkenny, and a show that you first told me about before it even came out was Solar Opposites.
That show is fun.
New cartoon from the creators of Rick and Morty, and our dear friend Lindsay is a character designer working on Solar Opposites. I've seen the first 3 episodes now, I think, and I've enjoyed it very much. Very, very funny.
Yes, nonstop laughter in that show. It's just very interesting. You have no idea what to expect.
It's pretty crazy. It's a cartoon with an alien family who crash landed on Earth. It's not for the kids.
No, it is not.
It's rather outrageous and not for the youngsters. Letterkenny is also not for their youngsters, we should say.
No, it is not.
But, those are both shows that you had recommended previously, so just wanted to let you know, I'm watching. I'm watching your every move, like John Oates.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.